verse 1. Then we'll be going to chapter 27 of Matthew. The fact and focus of our faith. The fact all of us have ability to believe. Faith is a fact of life. The farmer plants a seed, the faith that he will have a harvest. A surgeon makes an incision, faith that incision will heal that person. You pay your insurance, faith that you be insured. We all probably take drugs, faith that we'll be better or keep it from being sick. Faith Columbus sailed the ocean, faith he'd find a new land. Oh, Edison had faith that he'd have success, and we have the lights today. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And the focus of our faith, Romans 12 and 3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every person, God has given enough of faith and a measure of faith they can be saved and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. John chapter 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Whenever Jesus Christ spoke this to the end of his ministry, he was speaking to his disciples, he was speaking to the Jews. To understand this statement, we must have the background of all statements in the Bible. They believed, the Jews believed in God of the Old Testament. They believe in Elohim, which is the God of power. They believe in Jehovah, the God of covenant. They believe that God had the power of creation, the power. Jesus Christ had demonstrated who he was for 3.5 years as he come to the end of his ministry, and he made this statement. You believe in God of the Old Testament, also believe in me. The object of our faith. The Jews had always believed in God. Elohim, Jehovah. Today, do you know anyone that do not believe in God? Do you know anyone that do not believe in God? Have you ever met anyone that did not believe in God? I've never met an atheist. I have, in my nearly 30 years of being a pastor, I have done a lot of funerals. Some people I didn't even know. Some people I did know had a lot of doubts about their salvation, but I do not know. God does, not my business. I have never attended a funeral where anyone said, my dad did not believe in God. My husband, my wife, my sister, my brother did not believe in God. Always, everyone with no exception, with all the funerals that I've done, I have never talked to a family except they said, he, she, they believed in God. They believed in God. As I said, no one is never saved by believing in God, and I prove that to you. As I said a few weeks ago, you go back as far as you can in your life. When you was a child, I never remember a time when I did not believe in God. But I was not saved all those years just because I believed in God. And there's a lot of people today, they believe in God, they believe in God, they believe in God. We have church members that believe in God. But that's not enough to be saved. That's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to be a member of a church. They believe in God. And the same with the Jews, as Jesus Christ is speaking to them. You believe in God Jehovah. You believe in God Elohim. Jesus said, I prove myself, believe also in me. The Jews of the Old Testament was not saved by believing in God or Jehovah. They were saved by Jesus Christ, and everything Jehovah, God done, was pointing to the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ. You see, they were saved looking forward to the cross. We are saved by looking back to the cross. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Elohim, the powerful God, the God, Jehovah, that makes the covenant with mankind. They believed in this God. They believed in Noah's Ark. They believed that God told Noah after he made the ark, he says, in that door, he says, come unto me. And it said that God closed the door. They believed that. But Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I am the door. Revelation says, I open the door, no man shutteth, and I shut the door, and no man opened it. They believe in Jehovah, the covenant God. Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, on Mount Moriah, and sacrifice him there for a sacrifice. And he was about to bring the knife down upon Isaac when God stayed his hand, and there was a ram caught by his horns in a thicket. And he was a substitute for Isaac. But Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, there was no substitute for me. My God, why have thou forsaken me? You believe in God, believe also in me. The Elohim of power. Y'all believe that the children of Israel, your forefathers, crossed the Red Sea on dry land. Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, believe also in me. I walked on the water. The Elohim of power. 40 years in the wilderness. And they thirst for water. God says, Moses smote the rock and water came out. Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, believe also in me. I am the rock. He told the woman at the well, you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. They believe in that Jehovah. There are those 10 plagues of Egypt. Turn water into blood. Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, believe also in me. I turn water into wine. Elohim, for 40 years, they hungered in the wilderness and God rained down manna from above. Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Jesus Christ says, I am the one that fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Jehovah divided Jordan River. You believe in God? He says, you believe also in me. I said to the storm of my disciples, let's see, be still in the storm waves. Laid down like little puppies at the feet of Jesus Christ. They believed in Elohim, the powerful God. 3 days and three nights was Jonah in the belly of a whale. Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, believe also in me. I was 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jews, they believed in God. And that statement that you understand now today, also believe in the one that's tried and tested on this earth for 3.5 years, that he is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And you must believe in him. Today, a lot of people are confused about believing in God. As we see a lot of people today says, well, the Muslims, they believe in God. The Mormons believe in God. Jehovah's Witness believes in God. All the folk religions of the world believes in God. Well, they must be just as good if they believe in God. Jesus made this statement for the whole world to understand by the word in his Bible. You believe in God, but that's not enough to be saved. You also believe in me. It's been tried and tested to be saved. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You're not saved because you believe in God. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, there'll be a change upon your life, or there's no salvation. Then we come down to a representative man. This man is Pilate. Matthew 22, 27 and 22. We got 22 other verses. Chapter 27 and verse 22. He was a representative man for all people that's lost on this earth or ever have been, to all the lost people. Pilate is a representative man. It says in 27 and 22, Pilate said unto them, "What shall I say? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." Well, you sitting now where Pilate is sitting today, if you're lost, the view that captured Pilate, he was captured by a question. And that question to all lost people must answer this. Even if they're church members, remember, just because they believe in God, they're not going to heaven. Members of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, I do not believe that all members of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church are going to go to heaven. I'm not the judge. I do not know people's heart. But God does. And there must be a change. There's a question that every man, every child, every person must answer as Pilate answered these questions. It is a very present answer today. You say, well, this was asked 2,000 years ago. Well, Jesus Christ had been arrested now after he taught his disciples, believe in God, believe also in me. He'd been arrested now at the end of his ministry. Now he stands before Pilate, tried. Matthew 27:1, he was tried, and then he says, you know, at this time of year, that Pilate, the governor, would release one prisoner. It was Christ, or there was Barabbas. The custom was he released one. Who do you want to release? Pilate said, "What shall I do?" They said, "Release Barabbas, release Barabbas." "Well, what shall I do with Jesus?" They said, "Crucify him, crucify him. Crown him or crucify him." That was a very present question. And you have to answer that question today. It's a present answer for every person today. But not only that is a present answer, but you see, it is a pressing answer. And it's personal for every one of us. Jesus Christ was in the hand of Pilate, but now Pilate is in the hand of Jesus. Just like the day you have Jesus Christ in your hand that you're going to make a decision about whether you want to or not, but one of these days you will be in the hand of Jesus Christ for the decision that you do make about Jesus Christ. It's coming a time. Jesus Christ is in your hand. You can walk out of this church, you walk out under the blood, or you'll walk out over the blood. Jesus Christ now is a judge. Now, not only is it a personal question, but you see, it is a pressing question. You must make a decision. You say, "Well, I will not decide." Well, that's your decision. And it's the worst decision that you could ever make. Pertinent decision. What you do with Jesus Christ is going to determine what Jesus Christ does with you. Before, he was before the Jews, the view that captured Pilate. But you see, there's a voice that confronted Pilate. It's confronting you today. There was a voice of reason. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." Verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now you see, he was a Roman governor. He sinned against reason. He had done nothing wrong. Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong, but he sinned against reason. He knew that the people wanted to put him to death and crucify him. Today he's on trial before you. What you going to do with Jesus Christ? John 14:1 again. "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, your Savior." He was confronted also with the voice of love. In verse 19 it said, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, Pilate's wife, sent unto him saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Some way God had to send a message to his wife, warning her husband not do this thing. Is there ever been a person that have not been witnessed to by the voice of love? How many times have your mother told you about Jesus Christ? How many times has your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband dealt with you about being saved in Jesus Christ? And you go along and say, well, I believe in God. There's a lot of people who believe in God's not going to heaven. That husband's not going to heaven. He's going to burn forever and ever and ever in a place called hell just because he believes in God. God's not going to be there with him. He must believe in Jesus Christ. How many people of us here today, their loved ones have pleaded and pleaded and prayed for you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Prayed for you. A voice of love. What are we going to do with that? That's the reason we want to have a voice of love in our church for the people that don't know Jesus Christ. That we have met this past week. I wonder how many hundred people that we met this past week do not know Jesus Christ. And yet we had time to talk with them about everything. The weather. Talk to them about the gas shortage we thought we was going to have. Talk with them about sports or ball or anything else. Hunting, fishing. But did not have time to talk to them about Jesus. He was confronted with a voice of conscience. Pilate examined Jesus Christ and says, I find no fault with this man, this conscience. Jesus Christ was sin, the Son of God. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I find no fault in this man. His conscience told him, his conscience thundered in his heart, what to do and what not to do. As he's speaking to you this morning, of the power of the Word of God to speak in your heart, what you need to do and what you do not need to do. The Bible says that light, that is light as every man that cometh into this world. The voice is speaking this morning to you and I. The voice of God, the deity spoke to Pilate. In John 18 and 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a Jew then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a Jew. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. The voice of Jesus Christ, the voice of deity is speaking to you right now. Jesus Christ was speaking with authority to Pilate. Well, you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago, and Pilate heard the voice of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. But Jesus Christ, his voice is not speaking to me. Yes, it is. Just like it was speaking to Pilate 2,000 years ago, that I'm preaching from this book, and the very words of God is speaking to your heart, just as Jesus Christ would be standing right here behind this sacred stand. Just as Jesus Christ would be speaking to you, I'm speaking from his word. Just as he was speaking to Pilate, these words of God are just as true, just as powerful as they was coming from the very lips of Jesus Christ at the time he was walking on this earth and was before Pilate. He says, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man don't live by bread alone. When he said that, when he was on that temptation in the wilderness, carried up on that mountain, when he said that, you know what he was saying? He said, you do not live by the bread. You think everybody said, well, I've got to work, I got to do this. No, you ain't. You got to die. And then after that, judgment. What do you live by? This is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If God was standing right here in the form of Jesus Christ this day and would speak to this congregation, he would not say anything that wasn't already recorded in the Word of God. He has said everything through the written Word of God, through the living Word of God, to the generations of the world. He will never say anything new to the world, the generations that we call today. He's speaking to you. The voice that captured Pilate, the view that captured Pilate, the voice that confronted Pilate, but also the value that conformed Pilate. Now, Pilate delivered Jesus Christ to be crucified. And you see, there's several reasons he done this. And the same reason that people today will turn Jesus Christ over to the world. Public opinion. Mark chapter 15 and 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. He wanted the people. He wanted to contend with the people. Whatever they wanted, that's why he wanted to satisfy the people. Crucify Jesus Christ because he wanted to please the people. Pleasant Hill, what you going to do? Would you come forward with the invitation, or would you be ashamed of Jesus Christ? Remember, it says, if you're ashamed of me, that word ashamed means you're not satisfied. Is there anybody here that's not satisfied with Jesus Christ? Well, being ashamed of him and saying, I'm not satisfied. You'll crown him or you'll crucify him. Public opinion conforms us today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world. It means don't let this world squeeze you into mold. That's exactly what's happening to Christians today. This world is squeezing people into the mold of this world, which is an enemy to God. And it's doing it through many, many different ways, especially to our youth and our younger generation. They hear no word from the Word of God in most churches today. But this world is speaking to them everywhere they go. And is squeezing them into the mold of the world. Public opinion. Young adults. And even older adults. Public opinion is very strong today in the day that we live. The values that conform him was a pride too. He had a lot of pride. John 19, 10, 11 says, then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest that now that I have the power to crucify thee and have the power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me except ye have given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee has a greater sin. Pilate, you could do nothing. You think you could take my life? You could do nothing unless the power on high was given to you. You see, he understood that pride. Jesus, you don't know who I am. I'm the governor. I have the power to put you to death, or I have the power to release you. I'm glad that Jesus Christ said, you don't have no power at all. And I want to tell you that crony thing that sits upon our government don't have any power at all except what God gives him. And whoever else comes in his place, I am the governor, but you don't have no power. God has the power. Public opinion and pride keep you from coming to Jesus Christ today. The devil whispered in your ear, don't you go down there and make a fool of yourself. You can't live it. As you know by now that none of us can. But that's just the devil's trickery. Many a person have been escorted to hell by the ego and chains, as old Pilate today is in hell because of public opinion and also of his pride. The value, all the great position that he held, and also the position that he held. Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus Christ. He said in John 19 and 12, and from henceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever make himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Well, if he let this man go, and he's called a king of the Jews, he would be in great trouble. And he wouldn't be a friend of Caesar. And he could have his own head cut off. And they could do away with his position. Because see, he was a very powerful man. He had all these positions. And he had all these possessions. Material things. As people have today. But they turned their head away from God. The gods of this world. The material things. The things that pulls us away from church. The things that pulls us away from God this day. Just like old Pilate. People of our country, the United States today, what butters their bread determines their conduct and their commitment towards Jesus Christ. What conformed Pilate so long ago is the same thing that conforms people today. And you want to know why this church is empty as it is right now? By the same thing that was facing Pilate that day 2,000 years ago. It don't take much for people not to worship Jesus Christ. Did y'all know that? And we're living in a time, I believe most of us understand, I believe Jesus Christ coming back before long. He's warned us exactly what would happen when people turn cold towards God. But you see, there was a fourth thing. There was a verdict that condemned Pilate. And the first thing he tried to do, he tried to ignore him. Pilate had Jesus Christ in his hands. He had to do something with him. What was he going to do? Well, the decision, Jesus Christ is in your hands today. Inescapable. You cannot avoid it. It's inedible. No one can escape it. You must make a decision about Jesus Christ today. He tried to ignore him in John 18 and 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take him and judge him according to your laws. The Jews therefore said to him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You do what you want to with Jesus. He tried to get rid of him and just try to ignore that Jesus Christ. Don't bother me with this problem. I've knocked on a lot of doors and tried to talk to a lot of people about Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can tell when they want to say, don't bother me about Jesus. Don't bother me about church. Don't bother me about Jesus. Time and time and time again. And we got members of this church right now, I'm telling you, that don't want to be bothered with Jesus Christ. Put decision on someone else. Luke 23, 6 and 7 said, when Pilate heard of the Galileans, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Well, he said he'd try to change it then. Make somebody else do it. He wanted to let somebody else make this decision. You know, it's like a man that bought him a new boomerang. And he killed himself trying to throw the old one away. That's the way we are. That's the way people are. And that's the way Pilate was, trying to push this decision on someone else. You can't do it. He tried to admire Jesus Christ, Luke 23 and 15. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. He said, I find no fault in this man. Yet, even though he found no fault in him, he could say that Jesus Christ is a good man, he's a wonderful man, but he's not my Lord. You see, you can admire Jesus Christ and say he's a good man. Is anybody here today would not say that Jesus Christ is a good man? He's a great man. I have talked to a lot of Mormons, and I work with a lot of Mormons at the railroad. They were good people. They're good, moral people. And they'll talk good about Jesus Christ. He's a good teacher. He's a good prophet. He's a good man. But he was not the Son of God. He was no greater than Joseph Smith. You believe in God, believe also in me. He tried to remain neutral about Jesus Christ. Well, I just won't make a decision today. I just won't make a decision about Jesus Christ. Matthew 27 and 22, again, Pilate said unto him, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil have he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He tried to wash his hand and remain neutral about Jesus Christ. You can't wash your hands and be neutral about Jesus Christ. You're either for him or you're against him. At this time, most of us have been on jury duty. It's very old. I don't really care that much about it, but most of the time when I go to jury duty and find out I'm a pastor, they don't want no part of me. I don't think I've been on one since I've been a pastor. But I like to panel every one of us today because you're going to vote. Now, you know, we come up election in this country, a lot of people won't vote for our national election, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to vote this morning. You're going to vote for or against Jesus? You say, no, I won't. Yes, you have, because that's your vote. I want to panel you now that you are the judge. What you do with Jesus called Christ. Jesus Christ, I'd like for you to come and sit on the juror stand here and by the box and hear and say to the jurors, we have these witnesses called this morning, and these people are going to vote on you, Jesus, here this morning. Everybody in here is going to vote against you, on you, Jesus Christ, whether for you What to do with you here this morning, Jesus Christ? You're going to vote on him. He said here before you this day, and I call you. I'm going to call some witnesses. As I call the witness here today, I ask the witnesses to come, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I like to call John the Baptist this morning. John the Baptist, what do you think of Jesus is called Christ? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, John. Oh, Peter, you always put your foot in your mouth. What do you think about this man, Jesus Christ? Peter, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. John the disciples, what do you think about this man? Behold him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, John. How about old Doubting Thomas? Would you come and tell us what you think about Christ now? My God and my Lord Jesus. Thank you, Thomas. How about Paul? Paul, would you take the stand? What do you think about this Jesus? He is the firstborn of every creation. Well, that's good. We need some ladies now. Martha, will you come forth? What do you think about this Jesus? For unto you, he says, thou art the Christ of the living God. That's thank you, Martha. How about some holy angels? Was there whenever Jesus left or there when Jesus goes back? What would you say, holy angel? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. Thank you. We'd ask God the Father, what dost thou thinkest of thy Son Jesus? Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, you heard from some of his friends. How about some of his enemies on the other side of the jury box? How about the Pharisees? We'll call the Pharisees. What do you think about Jesus? The man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Caiaphas, self-appointed high priest, demanding him to be crucified. What you say about Jesus? He said, I am the Son of God. What about old Pilate? You can take the stand now. What you say about Jesus? I have examined him and find no fault in this man. How about the centurion soldier that put the spear in his side? We'll call him. What do you think about this Jesus? Truly, this is the Son of God. Judas. Come, Judas. What do you think about Jesus? You walked with him for 3.5 years. You was his disciples. What have you to say about Jesus? I have betrayed innocent blood. You can take out your pencils and your paper because you're going to vote right now. There's no way to escape. You're going to have to vote what you think about Jesus Christ. You will vote to crown him or you will vote to crucify him, but you will vote. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. Jesus Christ standing before his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in a God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. As we have a song of invitation, Jesus Christ is in your hands, but one day you will be in Jesus' hands. And there's a lot of people today in a lot of churches, a lot of so-called churches today that believes in God. But unless they believe in Jesus Christ, they will not go to heaven. Never met a person. Never done a funeral, anybody. Didn't say their loved one. Didn't know God. You're not saved because you know God. Jesus Christ is speaking to you today. You have always believed there was a God from your very early age. Sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, there are family members here today, and I hope God is speaking to you about your family member. Because every one of your family members, no matter who it is, I can assure you right now, you would say and they would say, no matter what condition they're in, I believe in God. But Jesus Christ says, I am the way. God sent His Son, Jesus. You don't just believe in God, you believe in Jesus. That separates us from all the religions of the world. Jesus Christ. And that father, that mother, sister, brother, loved one, family member, whoever it might be. As I said, you need to be praying. The prayer rock that I asked you to come get, you better be praying for them person say they believe in God. Sons and daughters care less about anything that Jesus Christ cares about. Oh, but they believe in God. Yes, they believe in God. You better know what the Word of God says. There come a day when just because I say I believe in God, won't get it done. Jesus Christ says that those disciples and those people of the Jews have always believed in God Jehovah, the God of covenant. I've always believed in God Elohim, the God of power and creation, that God created everything. I've always believed in that God. And so many people that we know today believe in that God. They are not saved because they believe in God. You must also believe in me. I have proved myself for 3.5 years on this earth that I am Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? As we stand for this hymn, whatever it might be,